Well, hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. And I got a whole crew here with me. My bride Sharon is here. Say hello.
Hello.
Lily Johnson.
Hello.
Really glad you're joining us. Thank you. And Josh Armstrong.
Y'all hello. Know
Josh. Josh with his radio voice. Very impressive. Been looking for an excuse to use that. So we're just going to jump right in here. These two, you don't know who I'm looking at. Josh and Lily have just gotten back from a mission trip, and I want to know all the things all about it. So, Josh, why don't you get us started? Tell us about the trip, what some of the goals were of the trip, what the objectives were, and then just a little bit about the team, and then we'll just see where it goes from there.
Yeah. I'd love, Lily, after I do that, for you to give some highlights. Lily's got a few cool stories to share, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so before I even talk about the trip, just real quick, a word about short-term mission trips in general. A lot of people have been asking about, hey, when are you going to do a trip again? Because we used to do quite a few to primarily to Haiti, and because of the situation in Haiti and COVID and all this stuff, we've just not been doing trips, or at least big team trips, over the last, really, 3-4 years. And so so this was the first one, and I'm an interesting person maybe to talk to about short-term trips, because I've seen good, bad, and ugly. Mm-hmm. And in our church, you know, if we're going to do them, we really want to try to do them in ways that are helpful. And so this particular trip we did, there were 9 of us, and we went to the Dominican Republic, which obviously shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti. And we did that so that we could still work with Haitians. There are a lot of Haitians living over there. And, you know, in regards to what I said as far as a more healthy version of a short-term trip, one of the ways that I like to view short-term mission trips is more than going to, quote-unquote, fix a place or people or whatever, or bring Jesus somewhere, because Jesus is clearly already there. Mm-hmm. We really want it to be a discipleship tool for the folks that are going on the trip. I know that my life was heavily impacted when I was in college on my first cross-cultural international mission trip. And so being able to give other, especially young people, not exclusively young people, but young people, a chance to do that is important. And I think it's going to pay big dividends for the life of our church.
Those cross-cultural experiences are a really, really big deal. And this isn't planned, but Sharon, why don't you talk about what happened to you on a cross-cultural mission trip as a young person?
Well, yeah, and it was in the Dominican Republic. So I'm sitting here, like, I was just thinking about that and how
I figured.
I know. I was like, I got called into ministry in the Dominican Republic under a tiki hut after worship one night.
And
it really is powerful. I mean, it's, and anytime you can get away and just be with the Lord is really powerful. But to get away and really learn about serving and even suffering and all of that, it's even more powerful, because you know what you're signing up for. You're not signing up for, oh, just the fun and the easy and the youth games and the whatever. I mean, you're signing up for a life of service and a life of suffering. And so I just think it's a huge discipleship tool, and it was really formative in my life for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So going into this particular trip, again, some of the meetings we had before the trip, I was telling our team, hey, we're not going there to, you know, you see people wearing these matching t-shirts on airplanes saying bringing Jesus to Haiti or the Dominican Republic. And it's just, it's
we saw
really,
some of those in the airport.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with matching t-shirts.
But not ones that say those kinds of t-shirts.
Now, as a youth pastor, it's just how you make sure you don't lose anyone. Yeah, I just want to say that.
Yeah. And, you know, we said, hey, you know, God's already heavily at work in these places. And so let's just go and partner with him and what he's doing and with the people that are there. Let's make friends. Let's build relationships. Let's help people to understand they're not alone. And let's ask them to teach us, and let's learn from them. And so I think a lot of that happened on this trip. Like I said, we're going primarily to work with Haitians that are living mostly as migrant farm workers in kind of the central part of the Dominican Republic, not too far out of Santo Domingo, which is the capital. We've been partnering for years now with Simple Church Ministries in Haiti, and a lot of you guys have been to Haiti have met Gabriel and some of the other leaders that we have there. Mm-hmm. And that work that they have has spilled over on the other side of the island into the Dominican Republic, which is pretty extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so we were working especially with one church that's there, mostly Haitians, and we did several things, but we did some teaching and training. We just had some cross-cultural experiences with them where they learned from us and we learned from them. And then also we did kind of a vacation Bible school for not only kids at that church, but some other kids in the community to help their church build a rapport with people in the area. And so also did some fun sightseeing stuff and got to see one of the oldest churches in the New World, which was built by Christopher Columbus's brothers, stuff like that. Wow. So that was really cool. But
very cool.
Yeah, there's a lot more to the trip, but I'll pause. Lily, what were one or two things that really stood out to you?
Well, actually, before we hear from Lily, let me just remind you, Lily is an intern with our youth ministry, a big part of what goes on around here. I also want to point out that Lily is wearing headphones that are not plugged into anything, because it makes her feel more like a podcaster.
I'm a podcaster, what can I say? Yeah. but yeah, it was my first time out of the country, let alone like a mission trip, so I kind of dove into that. So when God told me that I was going to go, it was really weird because they announced, or Josh had announced it in the service, and I wasn't in there because I was serving in preteen the whole three services, and I got like 5 different texts like, hey, are you going on the mission trip? Like, I'd love to fund you. And I'm like, what mission trip? Like, I was like, so not angry, but I was like, what mission trip is everybody talking about?
So you get funding before you even know you're going.
Yes.
That's the Lord. That's,
I know,
Jesus.
Exactly. And I was kind of like, me being like kind of controlling, but I was like, what mission trip am I going on? Like, what is everybody talking about? So it was like confirmation, first of all, really quickly, which was nice from God. Thank you. But other than that, yeah, it was just a crazy experience. And I loved exploring the culture. And I, like Josh said, I made like a lot of connections, a lot of relationships, and it was just really, really cool to see people with nothing have like everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just crazy because the Holy Spirit was like so moving in that church. I remember the first day we even went to the church, I got out of the van and they were just singing like praises to God, but I didn't know what they were singing. It was on Creole, so I was like, oh yeah, yeah. But it just, like, you didn't know what was happening, but you knew it was the Holy Spirit type thing. Mm-hmm. Which was really, really, really cool. But yeah, that's,
I think a couple of things at that church that Lily's talking about that really stand out to me. And one of the reasons I'm so excited that our church gets to kind of be a part of being in relationship with them is that church was planted out of Haiti in the Dominican Republic. And you know, there's a lot of hostility between Dominicans and Haitians, and that church is doing God's work in that. There were so many Dominican kids that came to the children's event that we had. You could tell the pastor had made deep connections with Dominican. He'd built a lot of the Dominicans' houses in that area. He's a contractor. That's his other job. And just lots of other ways that they're interconnecting. And so just the reconciliation between Dominicans and Haitians that is happening through that church was beautiful. And I was so excited for, especially, again, the young people on this trip to see how they are taking evangelism and church planting seriously. This is a small church in the middle of a place that's not its own people, and yet they have a heart to see gospel expansion and kingdom expansion through their tiny little church. Mm-hmm. And to be around that's contagious. Yeah, so that was a really cool thing.
That's so important, for sure.
And then on the trip, I assume Lily was a total, just a bummer the whole time.
Listen, I got a story on Lily. Mood. I got a story. Lily, you can be thinking of other stories, but I got one on you. So when we lived in Haiti, we had all this infrastructure. We were living there. And so we had a mission house, we had vehicles, and we had tons of contacts, and we just don't have nearly as many resources in the Dominican Republic. And so we were fine, but there were a couple of times early on in the trip, logistically, where I was like, oh man, like this could be pretty rough. There was one morning, I had made several plans with Gabriel, our main person we're working with over there, and like almost nothing worked according to plan. And I'm like, I'm responsible. You know, when you're leading these teams, you feel so responsible. So I got in the car. I was pretty bummed out, but trying not to show it. And Lily, she knew things weren't going well, and she was just the kindest, sweetest, and most optimistic person. She was like, let's go take over the world right now. We're fine.
I'm ready.
And it was really cool. It was kind of a reminder to me that, oh man, chill out. Like, God's in control of this trip. And so God used Lily in that way and a lot of other really cool ways on the trip.
If we get lost in the jungle, we get lost in the jungle, man.
We 100% got lost Spirit in the jungle.
True story. One of my coolest stories.
We call it a jungle, but we were definitely lost there for a minute. And we found our way. And Lily was literally happy the whole time.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was so excited. I've never been more excited to be lost in my life. It was great.
Lily's joy is definitely contagious.
I was singing songs in my head. It was awesome.
We had three people, Lily, that's my daughter, Ellie. She was on the trip too. We had three people Lily's age, kind of college age, on the trip, which was so great. And they had a ton of energy. We also had an older gentleman who a lot of folks at church know, Bill Richmond, who's just a dear friend, and he is amazing. And he really brought a lot of wisdom to the trip, and actually spoken to several people, several of our lives throughout the course of the trip. We had Heather Mounts, who's a teacher in town. And she and my wife Amanda, who was also on the trip, just kept everything together.
I can see that.
You need those people.
Very true. Yes.
Heather had wanted to be a missionary for years, and through some life circumstances, was not able to. And so, boy, she just came alive. Yeah. Like, Heather's always amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So we just had some really cool people on this trip. It was a odd team.
So odd.
And yet, gelled and came together. And that just almost always happens when you go and do mission together. And so it was great.
Josh, how did your kids do? I mean, that's a big deal.
So our kids were not going to go. I won't go into all the details of this. This trip really got changed a lot. We were actually going to be going with a couple of other Vineyard churches, and their churches went through some difficult things and weren't able to go. So we totally changed the nature of a lot of our trip. But through that, my family got to go. This was the first time we've done like an overseas mission trip together since we lived in Haiti. First time my son's been back on the mission field overseas. My daughter's been back before to Haiti. So they were so excited, and it honestly was incredible. It was so good for our family. One of the things that came out of it, and I'm glad you asked that question, Sharon, is Amanda and I were literally the day we got back, we were walking. We go on walks every day, and we were just kind of debriefing our trip, and we said, we've got to do a better job of getting this experience to other families in our church. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, you got passports and visas and all the things that come with international travel. And yet just the work that God did in our family's life, having not been together overseas for 7 or 8 years or so, was incredible. And they did great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But we really want to offer this experience. And so just Vineyard Church, look out over the next year or two. We're really going to try to provide some cross-cultural missions experiences for families. I think it's important.
Yeah. Josh, would you take a minute and talk about that, about the tension that people might feel saying, okay, we're going to, it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of money to take this type of a trip. And is it okay to take a trip like that when one of the goals is to help my own family, but in addition to helping people there where you're going to be? And why, you know, people feel that tension if they haven't really experienced the personal value of being on a cross-cultural missions experience. How would you tell a family to address that if they're wrestling with it?
Both families and just individuals that are going on mission trips, this is going to sound like a weird word of advice, but I feel like there are ways when you do mission work, in being more selfish, you're actually being less selfish. I mean, here's what I mean when I say that, because that sounds really strange. I think when you're selfish in terms of really seeking after Jesus and wanting to be discipled in a real and new and authentic way so that you can do more when you get back home, that's selfish in a way, but it's unselfish in terms of the amount of dividends it'll provide long term. And I think that's true of a family. I would ask every parent listening to this, hey, if you could give your kid, this is going to sound really creepy, if you could give your kid a pill that would help them mature 6 months immediately, would you give it to them? Well, you probably want to know any side effects, but let's say there's no side effects.
Yes.
I think every parent would be like, yeah, anything it takes to get my kid, you know, going in the right direction. And, and if I can accelerate, you know, their trajectory of their lives in a positive way, I absolutely would do that. And we do that all the time by sending them to a certain school or getting them a certain resource or providing them a certain diet. I think a mission trip is a way to accelerate your kid's spiritual life. I think, I just look at my son. Like, my son has gone through struggles off and on. He's a great kid, but he's kind of been tough to parent in some ways. And he came alive in ways that were so beautiful. And I can already see these last few days, like, he brought it back with him. The way he's treating his family, the way he's taking his school seriously, the way he's thinking about Jesus. So I think 100% of parents get the opportunity. It is a sacrifice financially and in all the ways. But if you really want to see your kid flourish spiritually, it's not a guarantee, but I'd be shocked if your kid doesn't really come back changed.
But, you know, we have spring breaks, we have fall breaks, we have Christmas breaks, we have summer breaks. Like, there are, I think at least one of them, you know, should be one of those things. We're setting this aside to do this, you know. And I don't know if it's a real statistic, but all that I've heard and all that I've experienced is, you know, back in youth group growing up, it's like all the students that went on mission trips, it seems that they are still following Jesus today. And a lot of the ones that were just sort of on the fringes, you know, they just, they experienced the on the fringes, like life spiritually for, you know, and I don't really know where they are today. And it's not like an exact science and all this stuff. But I think, yeah, I just think it is so powerful and so formative. And it is hard as a youth pastor to, I'm trying to look for even like local serving things or in the country serving things for our youth group. Even at youth camp, we have one day set aside where we don't do the fun activities. We serve the camp. We serve Eagle Rock. Like that, but and then like even as a student going on mission trips, you realize like how great you have it in America, where you don't know sure. that unless you leave America.
Yes.
Like you just don't, you don't even realize your perspective is so different. So anyways, I just echo what you're saying. I think it's huge.
Seeing something cross-culturally on a TV screen is not the same as going and yeah. smelling the smells and hearing mm-hmm. the sounds and you know, all this stuff.
Taking
and,
cold showers. And
cold showers.
Yep.
Yeah. So like for you, Lily. Like
yeah. In our last... place to stay, I was taking a shower and I just put shampoo in my hair. That's the thing. And the water just turned off like completely. I was like, Heather? And it was just like, okay, this never happened before. It was funny.
What did you do, Lily?
Well, I actually don't remember. I think I washed it with a water bottle. I like rinsed it out. I think there's still some in there. Yeah.
You're resourceful.
Jesus is good.
So like just talking about kids, I mean, you're not a kid, you're a college student, but you're not too far away from being a kid. Like,
no.
How do you feel this being your first experience? Do you feel like it accelerated kind of your spiritual life any or anything else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Even from like the time I said like, okay, God, like I'm going out of the country. I've accepted like it's a leap of faith because it's scary. Like going in an airplane, always a fear of mine. Like never know if you're going to go down. Not really. Well, yeah, maybe. But just all the general things, I'm just like, this is crazy. A whole other country. And like back to what Sharon said, like out of the United States, you never know how it's going to be, like how others live. But yeah, even just the leap of faith, I've always had troubles trusting God. So I think this, he kind of showed me like, this was just kind of testing my like faith a little bit. And so from that, but also just seeing how the people there just like worship God so freely. I feel like here, I don't know, it's just, it kind of was different in a way. And not that we have more Holy, or they have more Holy Spirit than we do, but it was just so beautiful, especially seeing like a whole other culture worship the Lord. And it's the same God, but it's like different languages and different stuff. But yeah, I'd say I've grown only in the fact that like, I don't know, it was just really beautiful. And I got to see the Lord work outside of what I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love what you're saying. And just, I want to say what you just said in a different way, because it struck me also the way that people worship around the world and how different there's differences and similarities. Mm-hmm. But one way that I thought about it one time was, you know, that I'm made in the image of God. They're made in the image of God. So seeing the image of God expressing itself to its creator in new and unique ways is really powerful.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like sitting in the church and they were all like worshiping Creole, like I said, and I was like, I started singing like worship songs I knew in English. I was like, yeah, but it was awesome because just again, back to the cross-cultural thing, like I learned so much from them. But yeah, it was awesome.
I think it's always a big deal too to be out of your comfort zone. I mean, I know personally, I'm such a comfort zone person. And I just think like even just in the airports and going through customs and
customs.
Talking and they have authority and you don't know what they're saying, you know, like there's just a lot of like, it's just very uncomfortable. And so it stretches your faith and then it helps you also like have, I don't know, like more empathy for people who are coming here and don't know what we're saying and what's going on. And I just think all those things are really good for your faith for sure.
It reminds me of a story Josh, I've probably told you 10 times, but a conversation I had with Rick Coffin, who's a friend of yours now. And he was at the time full-time in India and leading a really thriving ministry there. And we were talking about sending a team of people to him. And this is a long time ago, but I said, Rick, just level with me, man. We're talking about sending maybe 20 people to India. And India's an expensive trip. It's a long trip. If you're going to go that far, you stay a good long time. So it's going to be like $3,000 a person. And I said, seriously, would you rather have 20 clueless Americans stumbling around India with you that you have to babysit, or a check for $60,000? Because let's just raise the money. If that's more helpful, we'll raise the money and not go on the trip. And he goes, no, send me the 20 bumbling Americans every single time. Oh, and awesome. I was shocked. I said, Rick, how could that possibly be more helpful to you? He says, I got 20 shots of people who will come and get a heart for India and come give their lives to serving the people here. And I'll take that every single time.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And so even there on the ground, this is often these trips is where God calls people into missions work. That's what happened with the Abercrombies. They went with Josh to Haiti, and in a real way, they never came back. I mean, they physically came back for a minute, but then off they went. Their life, the trajectory of their life forever changed because they took the risk and the inconvenience and the expense and went on a trip that changed their lives.
Yeah.
We got to experience a couple other cool things on the trip. And the last thing I'll say about this trip, and then Lily, I don't know if you have anything else, but we got to go to a Haitian wedding, but it was actually three couples that got married, and one of the reasons for that is to save money and resources. Yeah. They all got married at the same time. And well, was it like any wedding you've ever been to, Lily?
No. Going back to the language barrier, they were saying stuff. I was like, I'm assuming they're getting married. It might be. Right. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on. But we walked in, first time being a minority for me, primarily. But they were taking, like, pictures and videos of us. And I was like, I didn't know to wave at the camera or just act like I didn't see him. But that was crazy. And then, yeah, three people getting married at once. It was like, okay, your turn.
Mm-hmm. When it came time to kiss the bride, they had like a contest of who could hold it the longest.
My gosh.
Pretty awkward.
They were going at it. Yeah, it was very awkward. Sorry, podcast. But yeah, it was very, very weird to watch. But yeah, it was beautiful though. They decorated the church with like, you know how you made in like grade school the chain links, but it's made out of colored paper. They wrapped like the poles of the church in like toilet paper. It was so cool. So beautiful. I was crying. I was like, this is what I want my wedding to look like.
I know, I'm like, we could learn from this.
I know. Yeah. Seriously,
Brianna, are you listening?
Yeah, it was beautiful. And
we got to go to also there were several people that got baptized, so we took a trek down to the river, and man, just beautiful. One of the most powerful baptism services I've been in, just anywhere. Yeah, man, the team got to experience a lot of really cool things. We bonded as a team. I thought it was a wonderful trip, and it reminded me, okay, this is why we need to do more of these.
Yeah.
So just be looking out. We're going to really try to make an effort over the next few months and years of bringing teams together to go on mission, and not always overseas. I would just say, you know, even when we were talking about families a few minutes ago, there are lots of great opportunities here locally and regionally. Mm-hmm. Do something to go on mission with your family and just see the work that God does in your kids' lives. But certainly we want to offer that opportunity internationally.
And you don't absolutely have to leave the country to have a cross-cultural experience in this country.
Yep.
So
even our city. Like.
Yeah, not even our city, and especially if you branch a little farther out in Knoxville and stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, if you're a parent listening to this, any chance you can get just to get your kids and your family out of their comfort zone, partner with Jesus to go do what he's doing, and just see what God would do in your family. I highly recommend it.
Love it. Seriously. All right. Now, Josh, while we got you here and in front of a microphone, give us an update about what's going on. I mean, this is one piece that for the missions work that we do as a church and that you do with us and with Vineyard USA and all that. But there's a whole lot of other things, a lot of other moving parts. I'm putting you on the spot here, but you know, take us around the globe and let us know how things are going in our missions efforts as a church.
Yeah, well, I think some people listening to this might know that I'm missions pastor at our church, but then I'm also doing a couple of roles with Vineyard USA, and so kind of like Sharon and some of us that have when the Vineyard, oftentimes if you give them a little bit of yourself, they'll take all of you, which is fine. And so our church is able to allow me to do some of those things, and I love it. It's all stuff I love to do. So let me just talk about our church first, and then I'll talk about really Vineyard and how God is using the Vineyard globally, because there's some cool things coming out of our reorg that's happened as a denomination over these last couple of years. As far as our church, I gave an update not too long ago, so I'll try to keep this a little bit short and see if you guys have any other questions. Many of you know we're part of two Vineyard partnerships, meaning that we partner with other Vineyard churches to work in two different countries, and those are the Ivory Coast in West Africa, And Haiti. And so Haiti, we've been working in for quite a while now. I feel like I keep saying the same thing about Haiti. Haiti is just in a really bad place. It's very difficult. It's hard for us to go and do ministry on the ground there. But we very much are staying connected and resourcing a lot of our indigenous leaders and partners that are dear friends of ours. Two of which were just with us in the Dominican with Lily and I. Gabriel Lindor was there with us. He leads Simple Church Ministries, and he also helps the Abercrombies with their ministry with Access Health Alliance. We had a great time with him. I think it was refreshing for him.
Good.
He's an extraordinary leader that God just has his hands all over. And so got to be with him. And we were also with Wesley Luisius. Mm-hmm. Wesley is the director of the Freedom House. Again, I think it was really a breath of fresh air for him to get out of the country for a week and come spend time with us. And so we had some great quality time with him.
That's great.
But Freedom House is despite all odds, they are doing well. Simple Church Ministry is doing well. The Abercrombie's ministry is doing well. Also, our ministry that we've helped start in Labourd, which is in the Central Plateau of Haiti, is really thriving. There's a church and a school that we helped start there. And just recently, we were able to provide electricity through a solar power generator we sent out there. A lot of you guys have heard about that. We did that through our must-have gifts efforts. And so
that's all set up and operational now?
It's mostly operational. Yeah. They're still doing some troubleshooting, but the unit's there. And I think I shared with our church from the stage, but so forgive me if you've heard this twice. But
it's worth hearing twice.
It is. I'll make it short. One of our Freedom House kids, Ronnie, who's just a kind of a wunderkind. I think I'm saying that right. He's extraordinary. He's great. Never ceases to amaze us with his intelligence and his wisdom and his love of the Lord. And so he comes from Labourd, and we sent two of these solar power generators to Haiti, one to the Freedom House, and the other was going to be sent via mule and people's backs to Labourd. And so Ronnie, who is from Labourd but now lives at the Freedom House, they were not going to be able to put this thing together. We were going to send some Americans down to help them because it's an elaborate system. And Ronnie figured it out, and it is fully operational at the Freedom House now.
How old is Ronnie?
He just turned 18, so he's one of our older kids.
That's awesome, though.
But I mean, very advanced electrical work. I mean, it's crazy.
It's
I looked at it, and it blew my mind. And now Ronnie is leading the expedition and the efforts to assemble the second unit in Labourd where he is from, and so cool. That's going to provide electricity for the church and the school and several houses in the area. There is no electricity in that area. There was
amazing.
Schools or anything in that area before we had first started working there a few years ago, and so, yeah, Haiti, despite all, I'm so thankful for our church and how we've been able to just come alongside indigenous leaders.
And just for context, the despite all is that it's been a really rough time in the nation of Haiti. Some people may or may not be aware of that, but it's always been tough sledding, it seems like, in Haiti, but it's been particularly rough the last, what would you say, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, five? Yeah. The political situation and the gangs that have taken over. I mean, Gabriel's called me from his house several times over the last few months, and he's on the roof of his house holding his phone up, and you just hear gunfire all around him. I mean, it's intense. It's insane.
It's so sad.
Even just some stories Gabriel was just telling us last week about what his son's having to go through, and he can't go to school right now. It's very, very alarming. So, yeah, before we say anything else, keep praying for Haiti, but particularly for those ministries that I mentioned and the leaders involved in those. They're dear friends of ours. And then in the Ivory Coast, we continue to see church planting movements thrive amongst unreached people groups, mostly Muslim and Muslim animist unreached people groups. And
that's in West Africa, by the way.
In West Africa, yeah. That work has spilled over into Mali, and it's also now spilling over into Liberia. And it's looking like we're going to be able to start having a presence in Niger. And so all of those are, with the exception of Liberia, or French-speaking. And so we're seeing missionaries that are raising up out of some of the initial people that we started walking with and training, and they're going to these other people groups and countries. And so
that is so cool.
The West Africa stuff's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing I'll say is, let's see if you guys have any other thoughts or questions, but yeah, in terms of just the Vineyard USA and our missions efforts, I'm really, really excited to be a part of that and for our church to be a part of the Vineyard. I think it's going to be an extraordinary season for Vineyard missions. Bubba Justice has become the missions coordinator for the Vineyard and Vineyard USA, and I get to serve on his team. It's a great team of people that love the Vineyard and love seeing God expand his kingdom across planet Earth. And so out of the reorg, got some fresh vision, really excited about that, got some new places that we're going to be working in. Our national conference this year, one of the main themes is going to be not only missions, but unreached people groups. So as a denomination, the Vineyard is taking the efforts to go to people that have never heard about Jesus very seriously. And that is obviously near and dear to our church's heart. So I'm really pumped about this season and getting to be involved with all that.
I love that. We obviously travel in a lot of Vineyard circles and leadership circles and things like that, and they're always telling us, thank you so much for just Josh. Just thank you for him. Thank you for allowing him to do all the things that he does. It's just been really sweet. So, everyone's really grateful for you. And, we're grateful that you get to do what you're doing.
I'm grateful for our church. I tell people all the time, I have to pinch myself that, we came back from living in Haiti, and Aaron and some of the other leaders were just like, hey, be a resident missionary and let's just see what God's doing, and just freeing me up to be able to do things that I love, but also to help get other people in our church involved with that. And our church has been so generous. And so it is a blessing. I think our church is really unique in a lot of ways in that, because I talk to not only Vineyard churches, but all kinds of churches that say, wow, your church allows, that position to be open. That's incredible. And they've thought about doing something like that themselves. And so
So thanks so much to those of you who give to our church in general and above and beyond the Vineyard missions. It is making a huge impact. It really matters. Your generosity really matters. So you guys are awesome. I'm so grateful for that. It's a tired illustration now, but I don't care. I'll probably use it forever. One of the most important things our church will ever do is be Josh's offensive line, throw our weight around a little bit, get him in the open field, be able to do the things that you're uniquely gifted to do. So we're really glad you're obeying the Lord every step of the way.
Thanks for doing that even when I'm fumbled, because that's happened more than once.
yeah, that's how it goes, man. That's how it goes. Good. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. If you have any questions about missions in general, josh@vineyardchurch.us. That'll do it, right?
Sure won't. Yep. josh.armstrong@vineyardchurch.us.
I bet Josh will do it too. I bet.
Maybe.
Yeah. josh.armstrong@vineyardchurch.us. That way, if you have any questions about what's going on, how you might get involved, et cetera, et cetera, that's how you know. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for joining me on the podcast, everybody.
Anytime.
Have a great day.